Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
Hey everyone, welcome to Mary's Touch. This is Alexis Walkenstein. We're here with the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love and real stories of people living a bold witness of their Catholic faith. Today's guest is the amazing Kaiser Johnson, who rediscovered the faith while earning a BFA in acting from the University of Minnesota. Kaiser performed sketch comedy and appeared in TV shows, films, and in online series. He's a parishioner right here in Hollywood at St. Victor's Catholic Church, and he runs the Hollywood Chesterton Society. He speaks on Chesterton and other topics. He is an elite obstacle runner, has placed in multiple races, and trains other obstacle leaders. He's also the author of the new book, Grit and Glory, How to Cross-Train Your Body and Your Soul. Kaiser, welcome to Mary's Touch.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's awesome to have you in studio. I mean, full disclosure, I'm your publicist
and
wearing the radio show hat today. So It's awesome to have you here to, you know, share with the Mary's Touch listeners just a little bit about who you are, your faith journey, and, you know, your discovery of, you know, really a life of faith and devotion.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Well, I'm excited to be here, so.
Yeah, so University of Minnesota, is that where everything started to really come into living color for you?
So I went to the University of Minnesota Duluth campus, and I was very sort of nominally Catholic.
What does that mean?
Like, just in the sense of like,
in name,
like, yeah,
but
I'm
not
Catholic. Yeah, I'm pretty much in name only.
Right.
I mean, when I was 15, 16, I started going back to Mass on Sunday. We, you know, from when I was 9 years old to when I received my confirmation, we almost never went to Mass, you know, maybe Christmas and Easter.
Right.
And then started going back to Mass regularly when I was like 15 years old. But it wasn't until college that I really, you know, had a real reversion experience and started saying, okay, no, if Jesus needs to be Lord of my life, there's no sense in picking and choosing pieces of truth. I'll just say yes to all of what he wants to share with me in truth and that kind of thing. So it was really at the University of Minnesota Duluth and through the Newman Center there that I really came back to rediscover my faith. And then a couple of years into my schooling there, then Father Mike Schmitz became the chaplain at UMD and stuff. And
you hit gold mine there.
yeah. But it was, you know, so it was really great. A really great time to come back to the faith and discover the beauty and the truth that the Catholic Church has.
And was this happening from external forces of people around you, the Newman Center, or was this interior or both, where you were feeling this compelling call to really go all in?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of the two. God was working on both sides of it.
For me.
So, one of the things that first got me thinking deeper about it was the gal who ran the Newman Center, her name is Leah Jacobson, and because I was hanging out with the Catholics at school because I was like, yeah, this, you know, makes sense. That's what I am, right?
And we
were talking about birth control, and that was one of those things that I was like, yeah, the church says this, but I say this. I know better.
Oh, compartmentalize that one.
Yeah, and I said, you know, well, look, I know Catholics who use birth control, and Leah said, no, you don't. And I said, what? And she said, look, if they're using birth control, they're not really following what the church teaches, so they're not really fully living out their Catholic faith.
Good for her.
And I was like, it just totally took me aback, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the first time I've really had this understanding of there is an objective truth out there, and I can either assent to it or not, but I don't make truth. I can either say yes or no to truth.
And right.
I should say yes. And so that started me really on a process of discovery and of opening myself up to God to, you know, who really, you know, won over my heart in the course of the next couple of years of my education there and just, you know, getting to know him better and getting to know the faith better. So
that's beautiful. And I'm sure there are a lot of listeners here of the program who have either experienced something like that where they haven't always walked well with the Lord and with what the church teaches, Mother Church. But it is a process.
Yeah.
You know, and we're ignorant if we haven't been informed. But once we've been informed, you know, it's really a decision that we do have to make. And,
yeah.
And you made that decision. Mm-hmm. It seems like you were getting this, like, super spiritual shots, you know, during that time with mm-hmm. Father Mike, who many people might know as well, who's a real leading, you know, evangelist and voice in the church with mm-hmm. catechesis that's very powerful through social media with Ascension Press. And when was it starting to manifest for you, you know, your love for athleticism and the mm-hmm. melding of the, you know, the physical body with the interior life? Was that happening early on, or was this something that was happening later, or was it happening and you just didn't know what was happening?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it was kind of, there was another sort of one of those moments where my friend Kate O'Hare asked me just a few years ago, now this is probably 2-3 years ago, I was, you know, competing in the Spartan NBC Team Challenge show, mm-hmm. The Spartan Team Challenge show on NBC. And then also I was doing, I was competing in American Ninja Warrior, and she was going, look, what, you know, faith is so central to your life and fitness is so central to your life. Is there a crossover there? And that was, it was, again, one of those moments where I was like, that's being presented to me in a new way for the first time. And I go, gosh, I guess there is. You know, I haven't thought about that before, but, and then I started really diving into it and looking at it and going, yeah, look at all these, this crossover and this cognate, all these cognates between faith and fitness and these things that
and sacrifice and
right.
fasting, you know,
yeah.
like fasting, it could be from food, but even fasting our time to say, I'm going to go work on my body. I'm going to
yeah.
go reflect the best version of myself to the world. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's all these things of self-discipline and mortification. And
right.
I mean, we're meant to live as body and soul, not body separate from soul and soul separate from body. Sin creates the separation between body and soul. There's not supposed to be a separation
exactly,
there. And so in living a physical and spiritual life, that's how we become more fully human and more fully alive, as you know,
right.
if I might paraphrase St. Irenaeus.
Yeah, and I think like when you think about Jesus taking on the physical form and
right.
coming, you know, condescending to the earth in mm-hmm. physical human form, Jesus comes in a body.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's I think it's brilliant, your book, and we're going to dive into that in detail. But you know, I want to talk about the Blessed Mother. The show is dedicated to Mary and Mary's touch on a soul. I always love hearing people's stories about their devotion to the Blessed Mother because mm-hmm. not everybody gets it all at once, you know. I feel like even for myself, you know, I remember moments in time where the Blessed Mother was introducing herself through people in my family who were presenting her to me in various devotions. But those devotions didn't really become like glue until like my young adult life, you
mm-hmm.
know. And later when I began to make a decision and take it seriously and understand the role that she could play. How did that happen for you?
That's a really good question. I'm trying to, you know, sort of go back and pinpoint when I was preparing for confirmation when I was 14, 15 years old. I, you know, read a few saints. I happened to pawn a book about St. Louis de Montfort, and I really liked his story, his devotion to the Blessed Mother, and his, you know, quiet dedication through the course of, you know, tons of persecutions in France, because France has such an interesting relationship with the faith. They're either huge in their faith or they're killing priests. And,
right.
and it's like
right.
that's, and he was in one of those times when they were killing priests. And just that his devotion through this persecution from Calvinists and from Jansenists and stuff like that, and just his dedication to the Blessed Mother through all of that, and dedication to Christ through her. You know, then when I was in college, I read his book, you know, True Devotion. And then, you know, a couple of years into college, I was like, you know what? He's been my confirmation saint, and I, you know, haven't really done anything with that or
How
appealed to his patronage. And
so you picked him as your confirmation saint.
I did pick him as my confirmation saint. And then, you know, just sort of didn't really think about it.
But he was on you. He was on the case, even though you weren't.
Yeah, exactly. So then in college, I decided to do the consecration to Mary, the 33-day consecration that he, you know, put together and suggests. And I've been doing that ever since and developed a real devotion to the rosary. But it's kind of like just little things here and there that,
build over time.
Yeah. And just to grow in closeness, to Mary and then, you know, to grow closer to her son through that is something that it's a devotion that really, you know, won over my heart. And mm-hmm. I'm a really analytical sort of person. And so it's always an exciting thing when something can touch my heart first, and because I get so in my head all the time. And so to be able to spend time with our Blessed Mother and with her son in the course of the rosary and in devotion to them is just something that's really great. And I've really appreciated that.
And you've adopted that as something you do annually.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a way that you pray it each year for the new year? Or is it in the beginning of the year or a certain time of year?
So I generally start it so that 33 days before the Feast of the Annunciation. And because that's
my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. So St. Louis de Montfort suggests that you make it coincide, you know, with a Marian feast. And he suggests that the Annunciation is the best one, you know, because it's her perfect reversal of Eve's no in that moment, and it's also the incarnation. And so he's like, there's no more perfect example of this devotion, of what this devotion does, than a yes to Mary is a yes to God. Yes to Mary, you know, is her yes to God.
Right.
And so I think that's why I do it that time of year. And so, yes, the 33 days prior to that usually also coincides with Lent, which is great, too, because then there's, you know, extra stuff going
on. Extra stuff going on. So you kind of add into the graces that are flowing.
Yeah. You can really dive in.
Yeah. And for people who are listening who've never done this total consecration, I encourage you to do it. It's changed my life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very profound. I find that when I enter into the total consecration renewal, something really radically new happens in my life, like some big leap happens, a spiritual leap. And so 33 days can seem really daunting, you know, to kind of set that time aside, but it isn't. You just take it one day at a time.
Yeah.
And there's sections.
It's never too much. You know, you do just 12 days of preparation where it's like you're not even doing that much. It's just divesting yourself of the, you know, the things of the world and then
surrender.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, you've got 1 week devotion to Mary and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, and it's all broken up.
And you're calling
up
on the Holy Spirit. You know, you're beckoning the Holy Spirit the whole time.
Yeah. And
which
so,
is pretty cool.
Yeah, so that you can have your fiat as well.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not hard. It's simple. But it is challenging. So,
yeah. You never know what's going to come. I always find I have to fasten my seatbelt with Our Lady because, you know, she's not like a timid mother. You know, she's always catapulting us into the next level of what it is that God's calling us to do, I find.
Yeah.
And so, which is what I want to talk about after the break. I'm super excited. Everybody, stay with us because Kaiser's going to talk to us about his new book, Grit and Glory, How to Cross-Train Your Body and Soul, and how you can cross-train your body and soul. This isn't just Kaiser's story for Kaiser. This is really a gift to the world for us to really understand how to really integrate the spiritual life and the physical life and how we glorify God in that way when we do that. So stay with us. I'm Alexis Walkenstein. My guest is Kaiser Johnson. We'll be right back.
The Faith and Freedom Minute explores the intersection of our Catholic faith and modern American culture, offering insights to understand and navigate the divide between secular viewpoints and our Catholic principles. Brought to you by the Knights of Columbus, here is Texas State Deputy Douglas Oldmixon.
Archbishop Laurie warns us on the hard work of promoting religious liberty. Even if the erosions we have experienced in recent years domestically could be reversed, we still have to do a lot of work to convince ordinary people of the importance of religious liberty and religious freedoms that need to be protected. For example, it is not immediately apparent to our current liberal culture that to enact a law that would penalize a baker with religious objections to same-sex unions who refuses to provide a cake for a homosexual couple is a fundamental imposition on that individual's freedom of conscience. But we believe it is. As Catholics and as Knights of Columbus, we will consistently and respectfully make this case. Will you join us?
This has been the Knights of Columbus Faith and Freedom Minute. To learn more about the effective witness and practical works of the world's largest Catholic family organization, please visit our website at kofc.org. That's kofc.org.
This is Alexis Walkenstein. You're listening to Mary's Touch, and I'm here in the LA studio with my guest, Kaiser Johnson. Kaiser, great to have you on the show today.
It's great being here. Thanks for having me.
Before the break, we were talking about your life of faith and really coming into a real deeply committed walk with Christ in the Catholic Church, and also your true devotion to Mary and how she's really shaped your interior life. But you're an amazingly interesting person. You're an actor. You're an athlete. And all of those natural gifts that God has given you, you have not been shy about integrating the interior life with the exterior life of how God is using you out in the world. And henceforth, this new book, Grit and Glory, How to Cross-Train the Body and Soul, which I think is a really fascinating concept. A lot of us in the church world, you know, we get the whole idea of spiritual sacrifice and, you know, Friday fast days and mortification and, you know, the season of, you know, penitential seasons in Lent and Advent. But how do we integrate the physical part of sacrifice to really glorify God in the way that we reflect His glory through our bodies? And you've really broken it down. And for people who struggle with one end of the spectrum or another, talk a little bit about how the book came about. You mentioned Kate O'Hara, our good friend, who was challenging you a little bit and kind of planted the seed. And was that really the beginning?
Yeah, it was. It was that was definitely the beginning of really getting me to think about that connection in the first place. And then I talked to, back at the Religious Education Congress last year, I talked to Mary Beth Baker and to Jamie Wolfe, and they were asking, you know, they were looking for new authors for OSV and they said, hey, you know, we like the kind of stuff that you do and the kind of stuff that you talk about, because they, you know, seen some of the, like the show that I did with Family Theater Productions, and they, you know, seen some of my stuff on social media and that kind of thing. And they said, would you have any interest in writing a book? And if you did, what would it be about? And I said, well, here's a concept I've been thinking a lot about the last couple of years here, and maybe it'd be good to get those thoughts out of my head and onto paper. And they said, yeah, that sounds interesting. Don't know that someone's, you know, done it in that way before and stuff. And so I started really diving into that and writing it. And they were really helpful in, you know, eliciting a lot of stuff from me to really dive deeper into thinking about it and that kind of thing. So, sorry, that's a long way of explaining.
Yeah, no, I think it's really fascinating. There's all kinds of teaching on fasting and the benefits of, you know, giving up something in your day, or maybe you give up all your food in the day and you have a liquid fast, and this is like part of your prayer. It mortifies you. It's penitential for sins committed. It's also, you know, quickens your prayer to the heights of heaven.
Right.
But what do we know about really cross-training our body as well? Like, we talk about this spiritual fitness, and then there's, you know, we want to look good. The culture tells us how to look and how to get fitness. And there's also this, like, false power that's out there that can be very attractive. You talk a little bit about, like, the yoga stuff a little bit, which I think is really important, too, because we don't want to fall into things that don't glorify God.
Right. And I think, you know, that's something that I realized in looking at fitness and that kind of thing, is I think we buy into the lies of the world no matter which side they're on, in the sense of, you know, when we go, oh, well, people who are really into, like, a spiritual practice of fitness and stuff like that, that's yoga and that's bad, and, you know, or something like that. And you go, you've got to be Buddhist to do, you know, this kind of thing. And you go, hold on a second. Catholics believe more than anybody else out there that we are a union of body and soul, that we are souls made flesh, and we believe that God himself became incarnate. So hold on. We have more of a claim to uniting our bodies and souls in everything that we do than anybody else does.
Right.
And it's time for us to step back into that. And it's way too easy, again, to buy that lie of the culture of going, okay, if I'm into fitness, then that means I must therefore be vain, or I must, you know, be doing this. And fitness doesn't have to be vanity.
If
you misuse it, it is. But that kind of lets us off the hook if we go, fitness is vanity. I don't need vanity in my life. No thanks.
Right.
And it's like, no, what you're really running away from is from the natural means of sacrifice and dedication and mortification that God has given you.
Right.
You know, go take a cold shower if that's a way that you want to mortify God, but why not do the stuff that God has given you? God made our bodies to respond to physical stress and duress and
pleasure,
the
pleasure that we derive from
doing
something
that's fun. We get endorphins,
this
rush of endorphins from doing something that's fun. And so God created our bodies to respond very deeply to doing hard work and the satisfaction from doing that.
Totally.
And so why are we running away from that?
Yeah.
And so that was what I really
It's like giving yourself permission to accept all the good things of the earth and the world that God has given us, you know? I mean,
yeah.
It's hard. I mean, sometimes we might not think, I don't know if I have time to do like a half hour of prayer in the morning or an hour of prayer or whatever the set time is that you dedicated and an hour at the gym or how do I fit it all in? But really, I find if you make time for those two things, everything else is really going to go a lot better for you.
Yeah. Was it St. Francis de Sales who said, give God a half an hour in prayer every day, except when you're busy, then give him an hour.
Then give him an hour. Exactly. Yeah. That's one of my favorite quotes of all time.
Yeah.
It's really true. I mean, if there's a greater call on our life and there's more mission, we need to have more strength. And that's not just from the inside, but it's from the outside, too.
Yeah.
I need it through running through airports, that's for sure.
Sprinting to the connecting flight.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So I love it. And have you had any feedback from people in the church when they've read your book and some of the concepts? Has it been a little bit mind-blowing? I think it's a little bit provocative in a way.
Yeah, it's not something that I think any of us are used to thinking. I mean, you know, again, even though it was something that I was very focused on in my life, it was something I hadn't actively actually thought about until Kate pointed it out to me. And then, so I think it's something that most of us aren't used to thinking about. And so it's a good thing to bring to our awareness and go, hey, how can I really dedicate myself in prayer and in, you know, my physical workouts and stuff like that so that everything I'm doing can be more, you know, glorifying to God. So.
And also, I mean, we might not love getting up when we get up to go to the gym, but those things can be moments of saying, Lord, I give you this time. I don't really want to be here today. I don't feel it. I'm not feeling it in my legs and my limbs, but I'm giving it to you. And I find when we do that, it can really be transformative.
It really can. I mean, you know, Archbishop Fulton Sheen said that hospitals around the world are full of wasted suffering because of our experience of pain and going, I don't like this. I hate this. I wish this were taken away from me. I think gyms are the same way. It's a lot of, they're full of wasted suffering. And I think, I mean, there are lots of times, I don't know that I've really ever liked a workout in my life. I like having done a workout.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing time to be able to go, I don't think I can do this. When I'm doing squats or something and it's like, I have on my sheet here, I need to do two more reps. I don't want to. Okay, then these two reps are for you, God.
Yes.
And it may sound simple or it may sound stupid or it may sound juvenile, but it's like, it is amazing how much we can just give ourselves the easy way out. And instead, if we go, I don't want to do this, but I will do something I don't want to do out of love for you, God, that God can take any small thing we're doing and that when we override our own desires and we offer it to him, he can take that and do great things with it. So,
what would you give as some practical beginnings for someone who, you know, they might, you know, everybody needs to get this book from Our Sunday Visitor. You can go online to osv.com and pick that up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people get the book, they want to understand, okay, so I'm just starting this. Like I either work out a little bit or I don't, I'm lazy, I haven't done it for a really long time, but I really am getting to understand the spiritual principle. How would you encourage people to start to really consider not their prayer life with their physical life that go in tandem?
Yeah, I think, well, the book itself, first I'd read the book because it really helps you get into a mindset of uniting those things. But then at the end of the book, we've got a 9-day workout plan, which is a novena challenge. And
I love that you put all those, you know, the Catholic bells and whistles in there.
So what it really does is it sort of eases you into more of a presence of prayer and a presence of physical fitness in your life. And I think that that's really important because it's so easy if we try to jump way deep into something. You know, if you go from not praying at all to, you know, trying to spend an hour in a holy hour every day, that's great, but it might not stick. And same thing with fitness. If you go from nothing, you know, 0 to 60, that's really challenging. And so the idea is to ease yourself into it, to find out what works for you, what you like, and that kind of thing. So as a very beginning thing, I would say for most people, 5 minutes of prayer every day, and a lot of time, and I think what we start with in the book is 5 minutes of silence every day. Find three things you're grateful for, offer those to God, and then meditate just in silence for 5 minutes. No, you know, memorized prayers. No, you know, no chaplet of divine mercy. You know, those are all good things, but just not right now.
Right, right.
And same thing.
Let him speak to you.
Yeah. And then even if it's just 5-10 minutes of working out. Like one thing I recommended for Lent for some friends of mine who were asking about getting more into fitness and that kind of thing is I go, look, spend those 5 minutes in prayer and do one exercise to failure each day.
Mm.
And push-ups one day, squats another day, and you know, something for your back another day. And it's like that'll take you 2 to 3 minutes max.
Right.
But it's just getting your body used to going.
Getting conditioned.
I am dedicating myself to this.
Creating a new habit and a new discipline. Do you find that it's hard for people that you talk to about discipline, especially in our culture that's so undisciplined?
Mm-hmm.
You know, technology makes us really undisciplined. We have a free-for-all of all access all the time. So I think that impacts a great number of things in the culture. Do you find that discipline is a difficult area to master?
Yeah. I mean, discipline and commitment are just about the two things that we do worst at in our culture right now. And and you're absolutely right. It affects everything we do, from our work and really being present in that, to our prayer and really being present in that, to our relationships and really being present in that, and to every aspect of our lives. We're not dedicated and we're not committed in a lot of ways. And that affects us as Catholics as much as it affects anyone else who's just, you know, because we're surrounded by the world and we are doing it in general, a terrible job of rising above that. And so I think that is a really good and beautiful thing to dedicate yourself for 5 minutes in prayer, dedicate yourself for 5 minutes in physical work to go, I'll start small, but this is where I need to be to move back into a more fullness of what God's calling me to be.
Yeah, the fullness of glory of God living within him. Did you hear that, Mary's Touch listeners? Just start. You can integrate your body and your soul. He is Kaiser Johnson, my guest today. Thank you so much, Kaiser, for being here. I'm Alexis Walkenstein. The book is Grit and Glory, How to Cross-Train Your Body and Soul. Once again, you can purchase it from our Sunday visitor, osv.com, and you can pick up my book, my new book from the Ex Libris series with Pauline Media called Fulton J. Sheen at pauline.org. I hope you will grab your copy. We are praying for you here at Mary's Touch. Send in your prayer requests to us. Thank you so much for being here. God love you. God bless you.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.